Hello there, and welcome to this episode of Bread Time with Charlie Dietz and
Gabriel Valdivia.
Hey there. So we're thinking about, there's been some presentations by large corporations who produce things that we use all the time lately. One of those is Apple. They introduced some new phones. And yesterday we watched the Google, I don't know what the actual presentation was called, but point is, yeah, they introduced a bunch of hardware and some new phones. So we're going to kind of like compare those two presentations, but not the products at all, just the way in which everything was presented, the meta presentation. What did you feel about the presentation?
At first glance, Apple had controversy. Which,
what does that word mean?
It was juicy. There was like tidbits to talk about. Should you notch or should you not notch? You know, like there was something to discuss behind it. And the year before that is like the headphone jack. And it's always something that quote unquote courage that they do, which as a presentation leaves like a good kind of aftertaste because you're like, ooh, let's see what people think about this. While the Google presentation was just straight up good. Like everything, it was just like good. Like delivering value, at least I thought for every segment, I thought there was something that was compelling. But it wasn't flashy at all. It didn't seem flashy. It didn't attempt to make any headlines or leave a mark. So I actually, in terms of presentation, I would say that might be a little bit lacking. But for me, in terms of content, I respect that more because it was all about value and delivering that consistently rather than making a big splash about it.
The tone of the Google presentation was understated, right? They walked you through the products. They explained what value they would think the products would give you in your life. It all felt really like connected to like the reason you'd buy the product in the first place on a really like rational level. Like it's something you could just kind of talk to someone about, be like, oh, this little camera, I can put it here. And then like everyone, we can take pictures while we're not actually operating the camera. Sure, that's what the thing is. That's all it is, right? It wasn't like, this is the greatest camera we've ever invented. It was just like, this is a thing that you might be able to use to capture some moments. I appreciated that vibe a lot because it feels pretty refreshing right now.
Although what they're actually showing is incredibly groundbreaking. Like they straight up showed the Zirkle. I don't know if you read the book, but the book is all about these tiny cameras that you can put everywhere and live stream the world. Like that's basically what this is. The camera that is AI powered. Like it's crazy and has a bunch of implications for privacy and technology. And they were just like, yeah, it's a camera. It's tiny. It doesn't weigh anything. And similarly with the Google translation thing, that is insane. Like you can have conversations in different languages and technology just makes that happen. That is completely crazy in terms of technological advancement. And they were just like, yeah, you can do this. Next.
But that's what I mean. They framed it in like the human way, right? It's like, if I'm not involved in tech and don't really care about it, I heard that I can actually like talk to someone in another language now. Pretty simple idea, right? And I don't care about the technology that is powering that or what the steps were to make it to happen. It's just like, I wear these little earbud things and now I can talk to you in another language. That's pretty cool. Like I liked that framing as the base, right? What's interesting is like Apple's framing is generally like, we make the best. Right? Like they start they're proving that with everything they do. They're like, we make the best. But that actually kind of like puts me off sometimes because it's like, I just want to see what you did. Like you don't have to remind me that it's the best. And it's funny, maybe times are a changing or something where that was more successful for a period of time. Or maybe I'm changing. But the idea is that it pushes me away from the moment and the excitement over the products and the technologies behind them pushes me away more so than the Google approach right now.
Yeah, one thing that became clear to me is the philosophy behind each company as they explore technology. Sundar did a pretty good job, I think, explaining their philosophy behind their products, how they want technology to facilitate natural interactions and get out of the way and learn from user behavior in order to do so. And something I noticed is that they actually used one of their own products to critique as a poor example of this. He used, I think, the fact that he browsed Google Calendar on Sundays to get a snapshot of the week and on Mondays to get a snapshot of the next day. He talked about how that was frustrating because the technology itself was not learning from that behavior. failure. Any other entrepreneur would probably use as a different company as an example. And they just looked inwardly and talked about how they could improve upon that. I thought that was really admirable.
That was admirable because that was human, right? Like self-critique and saying like, we can do better. Here's a place like where we fail you. Like when you have that mentality, it moves from, is this good or bad, to it's better. Right? Like you're increasing the quality of it. It's not about, is it good or bad? It's just that you're working on it. And I think that describes Google's product line, especially in the software realm, really well. Like they are taking all of these concepts that are well established right now, and they're just improving them. And they're using their skill in artificial intelligence to bring small features over and over and over. Like my favorite feature that they introduced was, well, not my favorite, but one that was just perfectly Google, was like, just as the phone is sitting there, if you like pick it up, you can hear like, it'll tell you what song is playing in the background. Like, how cool is that? It's like, you don't need that. It's one of those things that'll be useful very rarely. But when it is, it's just kind of like, thanks. Like you made things a little better, and I didn't have to make a big deal about this and go like use Shazam or whatever. You just told me it or whatever. And that was cool because it happens to be useful right now in context.
And that is not to say that they're not innovating, right? They are pushing the envelope. Like you can squeeze the phone now to access the assistant. If that were Apple, that would be like the super squeeze or like the eye squeeze or whatever. And they would make a huge deal about that one tiny interaction. And people would be like, oh my God, that's like opening so many possibilities for interactions or whatever. Just like Force Touch did. And Google just skipped through that. I'm like, yeah, you can squeeze it and you take a selfie. Next.
I'm pretty sure they even were like, you can turn it off if you want to. Like, it was like, you don't even need to use it, right? If it bothers you, it's no big deal. You can just turn it off. Which, that kind of empowerment on the user side, I don't know if that really resonates with everyone, but it resonates with me.
Now, just to kind of balance it out a bit, you could argue that these presentations are a moment once a year to inspire a whole community of creators. And I would say I'm not very inspired by Google. Like, I have been inspired by Apple in the past. And you know, because Apple is so splashy, people tend to like latch onto that a lot more passionately. So I do find it more inspiring, to the sense where like they had this like complete travesty of a notch, and that part of me is like, I wonder if that's the right solution. Like, should we go beyond the screen and should things be like not rectangular or whatever? Like, it just creates, it's more aspirational in every sense, where Google felt more like pragmatic and factional.
Yeah. The thing is, when Apple hits a home run, it's a very powerful moment because they make it feel like it's brand new. Like, I'm trying to think of the best example. Well, obviously, like the iPhone, like that moment, like blew people's minds. The reverse side of that is the expectation is on Apple now to blow people's minds. And that's not something that comes around very often. Like maybe like, I remember you and me were sitting there when they introduced the watch. And I remember we were like waiting for our minds to be blown, but they weren't exactly blown. And that was a weird feeling because we were expecting our minds to be blown. Apple builds up this expectation that is almost impossible to live up to day by day, year by year. And that's a hard position. Google lowers your expectation. Like, oh, that's a cool little feature. Thanks,
it's Google. More than the text field.
Right. Thanks, Google. Right. Like, and that's an interesting way to handle your presence publicly.
Okay. Presentation nitpicks. Number one, I fucking hate when new people come over and they're like, thanks, Barbara. Da-da-da. Like, they're not even looking at the person who like presented before them and just saying thanks to like the ether, and like the other person's walking off stage and be like, oh, I'm so glad that they thanked me. Fucking hate that.
Nitpick number two, equally as nitty as your nitpick number one, is just bad jokes. Apple dropped a number of like humorous moments into their presentation. I don't need that. I didn't come for entertainment. I came to see products that excite me and motivate me, you know? So that's always going to be, I think, in tech presentations to some degree, because people are uncomfortable with the idea of presenting, but you can leave the jokes behind. I don't need them. You could have a totally serious presentation and I'd feel pretty much better about it at the end.
Okay, nitpick number three, breathing sounds.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, it drives me crazy. Like the mic too close and just hear you breathe, I just like, makes me cringe and I want to turn off my computer and not look at you ever again.
I don't know if this one's a nit. This one's actually pretty serious. Yeah, diversity, right? I don't know how to judge who's doing a good job versus a bad job, but I would say that there has been a change in the past couple of years, which is good. I feel like I'm seeing more diversity in general as people are presenting things. It's a little hard for Apple, to be honest, to like present diversity, because a lot of the like upper people are like white males. So that's like a lot of them are presenting the work that they're representing and stuff. Yeah, but it was noticeable that, I mean, I've seen Apple present a few times in the past few years where I felt they did a better job than this last one particularly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. I actually would rather see a presentation where none of the fucking directors are involved.
Wouldn't it be cool? Yeah, like just like all ICs, yeah, just talking.
Just like, hey, I built this. Like E3 feels kind of like that, where like every now and then you get like an indie developer is like, yeah, I built this in my garage. You're like, yes, like that's what I want. I just want to see like two or three Indian engineers just being like, yeah, we built this over the last 3 weeks. Like they haven't showered in forever, you know, because they're like super stressed out. Like I want to see that instead of like the super polished exec who's just like crafting this script in front of the audience.
I mean, literally everyone who goes up on a stage that big goes through the process of probably like being told how to dress and act and talk and stuff like that. Because the presentation is, I don't know, no one is naturally a great presenter ever. So there's probably some sort of leveling of there that people can't bring their real personalities to the stage, no matter what, anyway.
Nitpick number 5, vacation photos. I hate that.
Vacations, right? Like, not everyone gets to fucking go on vacation all the time.
Like, we'll just go through like the photo library and it's all these photos in Hawaii, whatever. Like, show me the photos of whiteboards. Show me the photos of like my basement and my cat. Like 17 of the same photo. No photo library ever looks like that.
I lived in the Midwest the majority of my life so far, and every photo I have from the Midwest is just like tinted yellow because it's winter and it's nighttime and it's always dark and like there's just like incandescent light bulbs, and that's like that's what photos look like anyway.
Also, ugly people, like get some ugly people in there. Weird people do.
We'll put your photo in there.
Yeah, like, I feel like we need to be represented in Silicon Valley.
Okay, so we're out of the nits section, right?
Okay,
you have a company that is of equal scale to Google or Apple, and you are going to be presenting your new phone. What is your presentation like? What do you want to come across on a high level?
Presentation is done exclusively through text messages.
I'm just thinking the same thing. I was like, there's no people, right? Like, if you think of Nintendo Directs or whatever, it's kind of just like footage.
Yeah, it's just text messages and the take over your phone. I somehow like introduce malware into your OS and I take over your phone and I tell you about my features on your phone, and there's no CEO or director involved, and at the end your phone just shuts down and says you need a new phone.
I don't think it would have the same impact of these type of presentations. I do kind of like the vibe of, here's two types of presentations I'm really into. The PlayStation E3 ones every year, how it's just like, they just do like trailer, and they just stay out of the way, right? Like product is the thing that they're selling, and therefore they just like give you the best like experience of the product. Like these trailers that give you like a vibe of the worlds of the games. Nintendo Directs are pretty cool because they're really fast paced and they're just like, this is the thing that you can check out. Like, and it's like, cool, you're keeping me interested. So I think, like, I don't know if the stage makes a lot of sense anymore, or I mean, it still makes sense, obviously the stage is a way to present things, but I like the idea that the majority of people who are going to be experiencing this thing are watching some sort of video or something like that, and you can really craft the experience to be driven in that way. That's what I would do. I would just like make, like, instead of like a 30-second commercial, I'd just make like a 20-minute video where you get to see like everything about something that is of the quality level of a commercial or something, and like, here's the product, like here's all the things it does, here's why it's better than other things.
I mean, that's basically what Microsoft does. Every now and then they release like a 5-minute concept video and you're like, oh my god, I can believe that that's possible. Yeah. And then they never ship that thing.
Yeah, but ideally in this world you are shipping the thing.
Cool, I think that sounds great. What would you do if you were in charge of the next press conference? Let us know. We have a Twitter, is @BrettTimeFM. You can contact us individually as well. We will respond. And if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and let us know what they think.
And if they don't like it, tell them they're not a very good friend.